Welcome. You're listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. I'm Ron Fraser. I was thinking this morning, there are a few hundred thousand Baha'is in the U.S., and almost all of them were Christian before they enrolled in the Baha'i faith. And of course, there's millions of Christians who haven't become Baha'is, so what's the difference? Why are some attracted to the new message and some not? So I thought it would be interesting to delve into that a bit. This might seem an unusual topic. I guess what I'm trying to do is help you decide if it's worth your time to look further into the Baha'i faith. The people who become Baha'is, in my experience, already believe before they hear of the faith in our principles and basically see the world as we see it. Baha'is don't convert people, we just sort of find them. So after listening to these podcasts, if you think you've found a group of people who believe what you've always felt was true, then give us a call. There's a Baha'i group meeting somewhere quite close to you, wherever you are. Now, all of this is just going to be from my experience. I've been a Baha'i for 27 years, and I've heard hundreds of Baha'is tell their stories, and I've heard dozens of Christians reject the Baha'i faith for some reason or another. So this isn't a scientific study. This is just one person's experience. All of this is just my thoughts, unless I tell you that I'm quoting from the Baha'i writings. Well, the most common reason that Baha'is give for accepting the faith is that they were attracted to the principles of the Baha'i faith. Ideas like the equality of women and men, or the removal of all prejudices, maybe the independent investigation of the truth. Other Baha'is are attracted to the idea of the return of Christ. They see Baha'u'llah as the return, and they're ready to follow him no matter what. Others are attracted by the Baha'i worldview and just want to be a part of bringing it about. There are people who have definitely rejected the Baha'i faith as a true religion, and I'll talk about their ideas too. None of this is intended as an argument. We respect the views of all people. Let's start with some of the principles that separate Christians and Baha'is. There's a Baha'i song that begins, "God is one, man is one, and all the religions agree." I've talked about the oneness of religion before, so you can listen to earlier podcasts for that. Christians certainly agree that there's one God, so that's not a problem. It's the idea that mankind is one that causes a problem. Baha'u'llah tells mankind to act like the residents of one village, even as the members of one family. He says, this is a quote, "It's not for him to pride himself who loveth his own country, but rather for him who loveth the whole world. The earth is but one country, and mankind its citizens." Now, many Americans prefer America over other countries and are willing to, for instance, allow women in Southeast Asia to work for pennies a day so that we can buy tennis shoes that are reasonably priced. As a Baha'i, I have to see that woman as my sister or mother, and I have to invest my money and spend my money in a way that corresponds with my love for her. I have to insist on justice for her before I insist on justice for myself. I think this is what Christ expects of us, but I don't see the great majority of Christians clamoring for justice for people overseas. There are, of course, outstanding examples of Christian activists for justice. In everything I say in this talk about Christians, there will be many exceptions to what I say. I'm just talking in generalities based on my limited experience. Another principle is the independent search for truth. There are certainly Christians who struggle on their own to understand religious, social, or scientific truth, and many of them become Baha'is at some point. But there are many who want to go about their business and allow a priest or minister to tell them what the truth is on Saturday or Sunday in a sermon. These people don't become Baha'is as a rule. Our writings say, "First it is incumbent upon all mankind to investigate truth. If such investigation be made, all should agree and be united, for truth or reality is not multiple, it is not divisible." This leads us to another interesting difference, that science and religion agree. We're told in our scripture that science without religion is materialism, and religion without science is superstition. There's only one universe. It has material dimensions and spiritual dimensions. The two are complementary when viewed correctly and contradictory when viewed incorrectly. To give you an analogy, a very young child lives in a family that has a blue Ford car. He meets another child who has an identical car, except it's red. The first child may not recognize his friend's car as being a Ford because of the different color. He doesn't recognize that the shape and color are two separate dimensions, and it's only the shape that determines whether the car is a Ford. So when we look at the universe, we have to separate the spiritual dimensions from the physical dimensions and put each in their proper perspective based on the decision that we need to make at the moment. If we do this effectively, we can make better decisions. Our writings say, quote, "We may think of science as one wing and religion as the other. A bird needs two wings for flight. One alone would be useless. Any religion that contradicts science or that is opposed to it is only ignorance, for ignorance is the opposite of knowledge. Religion which consists only of rites and ceremonies of prejudice is not the truth. Let us earnestly endeavor to be the means of uniting religion and science." A big difference between some Christians and Baha'is is the elimination of poverty. I'm going to devote an entire podcast to this subject soon, so I'm not going into much detail now. I'll say for now that Baha'is are equally against communism and against unbridled capitalism. Baha'u'llah says, "O ye rich ones on earth, the poor in your midst are my trust. Guard ye my trust, and be not intent only on your own ease." I'm going to repeat that. "O ye rich ones on earth, the poor in your midst are my trust. Guard ye my trust, and be not intent only on your own ease." So you see that God is giving the rich people the spiritual responsibility of ending extreme poverty. Imagine for a moment that you have $10 million that you want to invest. You could buy that sailboat you've always wanted. Or you could build a factory and employ 100 people. If you buy the sailboat, you'll employ a dozen people building it, and there'll be a few people maintaining it year after year, but you won't have much income from it. In fact, you'll probably end up losing money and sell it for a few million dollars after some years and be sorry that you ever bought the darn thing. But if you build the factory, not only will you improve the lives of 100 people, but you'll actually get richer through the income of the factory. Maybe even buy a sailboat with your extra income. I think this is what God is asking rich people to do, to spend their money in socially responsible ways. It may be true that the poor we will always have with us, but we don't need to have anyone on the planet that is destitute. There will and should be people with more money and bigger houses, but there shouldn't be homeless people. There should be people who can afford the very best food and drink, but there shouldn't be anyone who can't afford the basic necessities of life. All right, I'll leave that subject for now. Another big difference between Baha'is and those Christians who don't become Baha'is is their belief in world peace. Many Christians believe that man is essentially evil and that God is going to destroy evil and exalt Christians in a final Armageddon. Baha'is believe that all of the reference to that great conflict, to the end of the world, are just metaphor, and that those verses refer, among other things, to the inner conflict in each person as we decide whether to follow the Sermon on the Mount as our standard of behavior for ourselves personally and for our community organizations, our churches, and our nations, or whether we instead will follow our egos and our materialist desires. Baha'is believe that world peace is God's will, and it is inevitable. The word is inevitable. The only question is whether mankind will achieve peace through adult consultation and cooperation, or whether peace will come after childish squabbling and tremendous suffering. It may take generations to weed out the ignorance of xenophobia from our cultures, but education and communication, which are really very recent phenomena, will eventually overcome man's childish behavior and ignorance. Baha'u'llah says, quote, "We have enjoined upon all mankind to establish the most great peace, the surest of all means for the protection of humanity. The sovereigns of the world should with one accord hold fast thereunto, for this is the supreme instrument that can ensure the security and welfare of all peoples and nations." End quote. A really big difference between Baha'is and those Christians that reject our religion is the belief that women and men are exactly equal in the sight of God. Some Christians absolutely believe that men are meant to control women, that women are to sit in church with their heads covered and their mouths shut, as Paul said. This is why I think more Christian women become Baha'is than Christian men. Jesus told the woman at the well to go and preach. Mary Magdalene was the greatest disciple of Christ and the 13th apostle because she did not reject Christ when all the others turned away. That's my idea, by the way. That's not from the Baha'i writings. Here's what exactly is in the scripture. Quote, "Women and men have been and will always be equal in the sight of God. The dawning place of the light of God sheddeth its radiance upon all with the same effulgence. Verily, God created women for men and men for women. The most beloved of people before God are the most steadfast and those who have surpassed others in their love for God. Exalted be His glory." Maybe that's enough talk about principles. There are a few others that would interest a few people, but I think I've listed the ones that are most often used to accept or reject the Baha'i faith. Let's take a look at the Baha'i worldview. We've already touched on that a bit with the equality of women and men and the removal of all other prejudices, looking at mankind as one peaceful family in which the rich have the spiritual responsibility to keep the economy going in a way that benefits the whole community. Now let's look at other aspects of the Baha'i worldview. There's a lot that could be said about our worldview, and maybe I could devote an entire podcast to that in the future, but today I want to focus on the differences between our worldview and that of the Christians that aren't able to embrace our faith. What hasn't been addressed in the last few minutes is the idea of a world government. This isn't an easy topic to deal with in just a few minutes, but I'll try. There's a lot of fear regarding a world government. It seems that we're quick to leap into Orwellian images of people all dressed in gray doing mindless tasks for negative controlling bureaucracies. First of all, the future world government is specified in our scriptures as being similar to the U.S. government. The exact verse is this, quote, "The United States may be held up as the example of future government. That is to say, each province will be independent in itself, but there will be federal union protecting the interests of the various independent states." Close quote. Using the model of the United States for the future world government, we see that each country would still be autonomous in the matters that affect only themselves, but subservient in international matters. Consider the culture and the government of Alabama, for instance, which is quite different from the culture and the government of Massachusetts. But Massachusetts is not free to declare war on Alabama or to create trade problems for Alabama. In the U.S., human rights are maintained in both states according to federal standards. In a similar way, America and all other countries would have the right to govern their own affairs unless they create problems for other countries. When that happened, a world court or a world congress would address the problem and find a solution. You may think this is far-fetched, but at one time it seemed ridiculous to think that the American colonies could ever unite under one government. There's a simple but profound command in our scripture, quote, "Let your vision be world-embracing rather than confined to your own self." End quote. And finally, let's look at some of the personal characteristics of people who aren't Baha'is. The main difference, I think, is fear. This is not a religion based on fear. The Baha'i faith is based on love. Our motivation is to increase our love for God through serving mankind and to open up a channel through which God's love can flow through us to others. There's a beautiful Hindu prayer, O Lord, make me a hollow reed through which the pith of self has been blown, so that I may be a pure channel through which your love may flow to others. We're told to fear God as an obedient child fears the displeasure of a kind parent. It's not that the parent will hate the child. It's not that the parent will kill the child. It's that the child loves the parent so much that to fail in the parent's expectations for good behavior would be its own punishment. I think some Christians are convinced that God is an angry judge who is willing to cast them into the fires of hell for the slightest transgression. These Christians don't become Baha'is. Another characteristic of some people is that they are more content with black and white reasoning. Everything in their world is either godlike or evil. Baha'is see everyone, Christian and Baha'i, it doesn't matter, struggling to be the best they can be. Everyone and everything is on a continuum between heavenly and satanic, saint-like and selfish, material and spiritual. Nothing is black and white. Yet another characteristic is whether one sees religion is absolute or relative. This is a difficult concept. Does religion change over time, or is it static? Many people want to go back to some period of time in the past where truth was truth, some to ancient Egypt, some to the time of Christ. Some Muslims think we should live exactly as Arabs lived during the time of Muhammad. Baha'is reject the thought that there was an earlier time when religious truth was perfected. In the Quran, God says, God willed to perfect his light. Close quote. One of the many meanings of this verse is that truth is slowly being revealed to man as man grows in his capacity to understand it. So while Baha'is accept the Bible as the Word of God and the Quran as the Word of God, we believe that neither is the final word. As I've said several times before, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran are chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the same book, a book that is still being written and will continue to be written long after you and I have passed on. Now that I've mentioned the Quran, I guess it's obvious that some Christians buy into the European history that says that Muslims were the satanic invaders of the Holy Land and that the Holy Crusades were an heroic attempt to rid the holy places of the Muslim influence and control. Baha'is see the Crusades as a misguided attempt by Christians who should have adopted Islam as the next level of civilization. While Europe was living through what they themselves refer to as the Dark Ages, the Islamic countries were building beautiful cities with gas-lit streets, with libraries, universities, hospitals, all of which became the standard that was used by Europe in its Renaissance. It can be argued that the Renaissance itself was caused by the wealthy families of Europe sending their sons to the Islamic universities in Spain. European sciences like math, astronomy, and medicine were transformed by Islamic science using actual Arab textbooks that had been translated into Latin. So Baha'is don't see Islam as the enemy of Christianity. If you do, then you probably won't become a Baha'i. For that matter, you're probably not listening to this podcast to begin with. My wife listened to an earlier draft of this podcast and pointed out that I'd left out the nobility of man. Well, that was a big omission. God tells us, this is a quote, "Noble have I created thee, yet thou hast abased thyself. Rise then unto that for which thou wast created." In another place, he calls man, quote, "the noblest and most perfect of all created things," end quote. in speaking of our spiritual progress and using the God is in this quote is using a mirror to represent mankind, in that mankind can reflect the attributes of God. So this is the quote: "The greater the effort exerted for the refinement of this sublime and noble mirror, the more faithfully will it be made to reflect the glory of the names and attributes of God and reveal the wonders of his signs and knowledge." Some Christians believe in original sin and that all men were created evil. We acknowledge the various verses in the Bible that they quote as being true, but we don't interpret them the same way. I think I'll make another podcast on that subject. That'll take some time. Well, when I started this, I wasn't sure that I'd have enough to say on the subject, but the time went quickly. Please remember that most of this is just my own thoughts, so don't take any of this as the official Baha'i view. I'm just trying to get you to dig a little deeper for yourself. Dear friends, if this kind of spiritual exploration appeals to you, I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast and to the other Baha'i podcasts. Send us an email. Challenge us. Ask some hard questions. We're really doing this just for you. None of us is getting paid to make these podcasts. It's a service to you, and we want it to be useful. And remember, you're welcome to join us at any time.
You've been listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. If you'd like to learn more about the Baha'i faith, call 1-800-22-UNITE, or in Florida, call 850-543-2129. Look on the internet at www.baha'i.org for the international site, or www.baha'i.us for the U.S. site. Remember that Baha'i is B-A-H-A-I. In Florida, our website is www.emeraldcoastbaha'is, that's with an S at the end, .org, emeraldcoastbaha'is.org. I'm Ron Fraser. You can email me at panhandlebaha'is@aol.com. Thanks for listening.